as Joe said, I've been in Mexico the last couple of weeks doing a house build with the Boys Brigade. It's the first time the Boys Brigade have done a house build there, and I was asked to go and help lead that. I got back home about 10 o'clock Friday night, so I am jet lagged, and so anything could happen this morning. That is exciting, isn't it? But hopefully we'll be all right. Hopefully I won't nod off or anything in it. If any of you do, you've got to have jet lag as your excuse, not that I'm boring. But what I'd like to do is share something of what God is doing through Grace Foundation and explain a bit about what we do. But it isn't really a talk about Grace Foundation. It's a talk about Jesus's call on every one of our lives. Because whether you're a teacher, a parent, retired, a business owner, work in healthcare, work on a building site, volunteer in the community, you're still in school yourself, none of those above, whatever you do, God has placed each of us somewhere for a purpose. And we often talk about being called as if that only applies to missionaries or pastors or people in certain roles. But Jesus saw it very differently. He looked at ordinary people with ordinary jobs and ordinary lives and said, "You are the salt, you are the light." And in other words, wherever God has placed you is where he intends you to make a difference. Whether that's the office, the classroom, the factory floor, the hospital ward, the coffee shop, the supermarket checkout, the sports club, the line outside of school, the university campus, and the family home are all places where God's kingdom can be seen through ordinary Christians living extraordinary lives of love, integrity, and hope. And for us at Grace Foundation, that place happens to be secondary schools. And we have the privilege of serving in schools every day, walking alongside young people, families and staff. But what we do isn't fundamentally different from what many of you do week in, week out. The setting is different, but the calling is exactly the same. We're all sent into different places to represent the same King. So let's hear the words of Jesus from Matthew 5. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What strikes me about this is that Jesus didn't tell his followers to become salt or become light. He says, you are salt, you are light. And the identity comes before activity. We carry something of his presence wherever we go. And salt changes whatever it touches. It preserves what is good, brings out flavour, and makes a difference, often without drawing attention to itself. We often go, "Oh, that meal was delicious," rather than, "Oh, that salt was good today," do we? Light doesn't argue with darkness. It simply shines, and darkness has no choice but to retreat. And that's the picture Jesus gives of his church. We aren't called to hide away from the world, nor to shout louder than anyone else. We are called to live in such a way that people catch a glimpse of Jesus through us. So we're going to show you some examples of what that looks like in some of our schools. But my prayer is you listen, you'll be asking yourself, what does it look to me to be salt and light where God has placed me? So let's have a look at the flavour of what that looks like through Grace Foundation. So Grace Foundation has been serving schools for 20 years. We work in 15 secondary schools across the Midlands alongside school leaders and staff supporting around 15,000 young people and their families. Now with this, a lot of you go, "Oh, we understand this because we're in a Grace Academy." So over 20 years ago, the first Grace Academy happened in Solihull, then there was one in Coventry, then Darlaston. And part of that, the founders, Lord Edmiston and his team, wanted Christian ethos in the schools. It was agreed. And they started to look at what that is. And over those years of working in the schools, a model was put in place where each school would have an ethos leader, a family support worker, and a youth worker who were externally funded, not funded by the school themselves, and then adding to what the schools do. In 2019, when Lord Edmiston decided to hand these schools over to another trust, because he was reaching his retirement of looking after the schools, it was, could what we do still work in those three schools, even though they weren't going to be run by Lord Edmiston and his team? And could it work in any other school? Would it? We didn't know. And then what then happened over the years was a journey of discovery of going, it does work in these schools, still works in the Grace Academies, and works in other schools as well. And with that, our heart is simple, to work with schools from the inside out. We don't just go into a school every so often, we're in the school day in, day out. So the teams that work in the schools, they're there, they clock in like the staff every day, they have a room they work in, people see them around, and they make that real difference from the inside out, helping to develop the whole person, improve well-being, improve outcomes, and making the love of Jesus visible through practical service. And we work across these areas here. So we've got cluster one, which is the cluster I look after. Some people call it the cluster of legends, and that the schools that are in that is Shire Oak, Q3 Great Bar, Grace Academy Darlaston, all very near here, as well as Q3 Tipton and Ellos Hall up in Gornal, and then also Lizo's in Halesowen and Grace Academy Solihull and Tudor Grange Kingshurst, which again is over in Solihull. Some people call Cluster 2 the Cluster of Losers, which I think is incredibly offensive, and I've been investigating for a couple of years who would say such a thing. At the moment, I haven't found the culprit, but that goes from Coventry, Northampton, and down into Milton Keynes as well. So we're in 15 schools there, and our programme is based along these three strands here. The things at the bottom are all the areas of school life we can help with. So when schools speak to us, they understand we know their language. We know the problems. We know mental health, for example, is a massive issue in schools at the moment. And in a classroom, there's likely to be at least 5 students who are going to have a diagnosed mental health condition. And in that, that is how we can support alongside those areas. So how do we develop character? How do we develop good relationships? But also, all our team are Christians, and we look at how do you understand Christian perspectives? We look at Easter, we do assemblies, tutor times, lunch clubs on that Christmas, and also get involved in lessons and curriculum in all those different areas. And our impact numbers, and I'll put these on the screen, these are probably, they're going to be a little higher because some of our team are still filling them in for this year. So these are our this year's numbers. Now, as I said, we're over 15,000 students we work with, but we call an engagement where we do a meaningful piece of work with a student. So for example, if we do an assembly with 300 students, that is 300 engagements. And if we do a one-to-one with a student, that's one engagement. But if we do that over 6 weeks, that would be 6 engagements. So you can see there, across those foundations, which we looked in our video that we showed earlier, these are the sort of things we're doing. We're doing 5,000 one-to-ones. We're doing almost 10,000, it will be, once we complete that, group interventions with students who need support, whether it's with loss, whether it's with well-being, whether it's with anxiety, whether it's with behaviour. So these are things we do. We do the deep work there, but also wider work, because what we don't want is just to be something that certain students know about. We do assemblies, we do events, we do drop-down days for the whole school as well. So we call it our deep and wide work. And you can see there, if we just go back one a second. So it says there, this is a report, a national report on school exclusions. The work of Grace Foundation has been shown to have significant impact, contributions to increased attendance level, improved behaviour, improved student progress, raised aspirations and enhanced student well-being. We've been in reports about attendance recently. And if we go on to the next slide, maybe if you click again to see whether if you go back, we've also been on a panorama programme about harmful sexual behaviours in schools, and our model being shown as a good work of showing kids how to do relationships properly. We're also on the Roman Kemp documentary about mental health, and our team was focused on in Coventry as a real good example of how schools can deal with mental health. We've been a finalist for the Centre of Social Justice and the Children's Commissioner Officer who advocate for the life of children in the country. They would put us as a good example as well. At the moment, one of the things we're working on as well is how we train other churches to work in secondary schools. What we're feeling, we're getting a sense, is that a lot of churches, quite good at working with primary schools, but a bit nervous about secondary schools. So we're looking at how we can help with that. And we're working with Scripture Union, national organisation, on putting training out there. So that's some of what we do. But I'd love you to meet someone who spends every day living this out. So Justine's our ethos leader at Grace Academy Darlaston. And while we've heard about Grace Foundation as an organisation, I thought it'd be much better to listen to someone who's on the front line of the ministry every day. So let's welcome Justine. I'll give Justine mic too. And if you know Justine, you'll know this is her favourite thing to do now, to speak on the mic. So firstly, Justine, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do at Grace Academy Darlaston? And how long have you worked for Grace Foundation?
So I have worked for Grace Foundation for 14 years. I was family support worker here at Darlaston for 12 years. And then I'm now the ethos lead here at Darlaston.
And you don't do this on your own, do you? So tell us about your team. Who are they and what roles do they do?
So I'm the ethos lead. Then we've got Louise, who is the family support worker, and Ruver. We've got Betsan, who is our youth worker, but she's on leave at the moment. And we've got Ruver, who is currently covering the youth worker position.
And I've obviously said a bit about what ethos team, Grace Foundation ethos team means, but probably people haven't listened to my wheezing waffle. So what does the role of the ethos team within the school and what does a typical week look like?
So school-wise, I mean, you can have a plan, can't you? And you walk in the morning and everything goes out the window. But generally speaking, so my responsibility is to kind of look manage the team and maybe like the wider work. So like BHR days, planning the programme for the year, those kind of things.
BHR's building.
So building healthy relationships days, yes. So we'll have a whole day off timetable for, well, we have values days for year 7 and 8 and BHR days for year 9, 10 and post 16. So they have external people come in to run sessions throughout the day on age-appropriate in sessions such as like consent, sexual exploitation, those kind of things. Those kind of things. Then day-to-day, the youth worker will be doing interventions, one-to-ones, group interventions, drop-in clubs at lunchtimes, break times. We all do breakfast club every single day, and we do toast club as well every lunchtime. So to make sure, obviously, we don't have any kids that have gone hungry through the day. And also our youth worker will do lessons as well. So at Christmas and Easter and maybe on other occasions, they will be doing lessons with year 7 and usually year 10, 11 revision lessons as well. In RE, based on Christian values, Christmas, Easter. Family support is a bit more, you never know what the day is going to bring. So you'll have kind of a caseload of regular families that you work with. Louise does a lot of support with students around self-harm as well. So she'll do a Lumina with those students in school and around loss with students that have, we seem to have many more students that have lost a parent in like the last kind of 10 years. It seems to increase a lot. So she'll do things with students as well, but she also works with parents where she'll go out and do home visits, providing food parcels, uniform, working with the local authority to do early health, families first, so families with complex needs. But no 2 days are the same, really. You know what school's like.
And here at Darlaston, it's a school which is way above the national average for disadvantaged, and you talked about food and things you do there. And actually, the schools we work with, we tend to say, give us your worst school to a trust. If they say, can you come and work, we want the school where they've got real disadvantage or maybe things are struggling, because that's where we feel we can make a real difference, isn't it?
Yeah, so obviously Warsaw is classed as, I think, in the top 10% most deprived areas in the country, and also recently, I think, being voted, for want of a better word, as the worst place to live in the whole of the UK.
And the most unfriendly as well, wasn't it?
I mean, every negative thing you can win, we've won. But obviously that then gets reflected in the issues that we see when you're in school with families and students.
Now, I'm nervous about asking the next question because Justine and Joe put these together. So now for the really important question, what do you think of your line manager? I've heard they're a very good-looking man.
He's all right. 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. That's all we can ask for.
Could be worse, could be better.
Fair enough. So we'll go from there. That's me, if anyone didn't get that in joke there. So one of the questions we're often asked is how we work in schools that aren't faith schools. So Grace Academy Darlaston isn't a faith school. None of the schools we work with are faith schools. So how do you share understanding Christian perspectives in a way that's appropriate, respectful and welcomed?
So there is part of the curriculum which is looking at moral and spiritual areas of student development. So, and the school, the way the school puts it is that we have a unique Christian perspective. And because I think most people who work here now have come after that, they kind of accept that that's what happens in school. But it's more, so a lot of the things we will do through RE, which they really like. We've got a good relationship with the RE department. And they like us to do and go and do the revision as well, because it gives the students opportunities to talk about things to somebody who actually lives and breathes it on a daily basis. We also do Thrive on a Friday, which is our faith-based lunch drop-in, and that just gives students the space to ask questions about, you know, those big questions about life, and just to kind of have the opportunity to think, what do I believe? And that's open to students of no faith, Christian students, students of different faiths, and what we're coming to things from a Christian perspective, but that's what we would always say is that this is what Christians believe, that's what we believe, and then they're free to make their own choices. But you don't know what seeds are being planted, do you? And, you know, it's not very often that students get the opportunity to just take time out to explore that spiritual side of themselves and actually think, what do I believe?
And it's interesting because I came into when Justine was running a Grill a Christian. If you say Grill a Christian fast, it sounds like Gorilla Christian. But she had Rose Till, who is a pastor here, who's also Justine's mom, answering questions all day from year seven. And it could have gone on and on. They had so many questions.
Many questions about dinosaurs. A lot of questions about dinosaurs. But yeah, so we'd done a jar in advance of questions just in case it went quiet. But once they started, they had so many questions. I mean, where's heaven? What does it look like? If they've had a bereavement, that was kind of in their mind. Where's my nan? And all those kind of things that go through the head that they maybe never have the opportunity to ask. Brilliant. So yeah, that goes well.
And any other response you had that you think's worth sharing about the work of the Ethos team by staff, school leaders or parents?
Well, feedback is always really positive from staff. We feel like we're very embedded in the school. I think lots of people probably wouldn't know that we're not employed by the school, because we're here every single day working in lots of different departments within the school. So we work with safeguarding, with the SEN department, with the RE department, with, you know, transition. So we kind of got a finger in every department, really. So, yeah.
Wonderful. And how can we, or how already is Junction 10 supporting the work you're doing at Darlaston? And how can that continue?
So there is lots of support already. I mean, there's lots of practical support, such as we give out Christmas hampers every year at Christmas, which requires increasing amount of money every year because of the cost of living. So we do get donations from church, from house groups, who, you know, contribute to that. Food parcels that we give out at other times a year as well. So that's really, really helpful because we wouldn't be able to conjure up that money to give out as many hampers as we possibly can to families. We've given it kind of up to about 70 families, which is up to 300 individuals then that can have Christmas dinner. Also, things like we have, Sue used to come in on a Friday to support with Thrive. So obviously, hopefully, once we've got a new person in, they'll be able to come in as well. Community events, so we did like a Friday night youth event where we had it here, and youth from church came here, and we also had about 25 students from school who came along as well. So just joined together, 25 students who don't go to church, who aren't Christians, had an absolutely brilliant time, and kind of would like to do that again. So there are lots of things already, and we have a prayer walk as well in when we pray for Schools Day, which is in September now. So it kind of we coincide that with one of the prayer walks that's in Darlaston, and then we have a breakfast afterwards. So that would be really good if we could, you know, if you could support us with that. The more people, the better, obviously, walking around Darlaston and praying. And join Andre and Jan and Jeff and Rachel and Phil and everybody have kind of been to those before. So that's, yeah, I think prayer. I've got a prayer newsletter on the go. I was hoping to get it done for today, but yeah, that didn't happen. Once I can get that done, I can put them out, and then you can take one away and have a look at the prayer requests. That'd be really helpful.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Let's thank Justine. And I was privileged to come and help with the Ofsted that was here, and seeing Justine talk to the inspector a couple of months ago, absolutely brilliant she was. And recently, while I've been away, actually, she's had her internal quality assurance that the other cluster lead does. She's outstanding across the board in the work she's done. So let's give her a round of applause. That's brilliant achievement. So there are loads of stories we can tell you. We could tell you about a story of nearby here, one of our family support was asked to walk a parent to the doctors because she was so worried about going to the doctors. And as she was going, the parent said, "I know you're a Christian, talk to me about that." And they got to the doctors and they didn't have enough time. So on the way back, they stopped at a wall and talked. And then that parent said, "I want to become a Christian because of what you said." And they've been connected in with the local church. We've also, the amount of times I go into schools, especially schools sometimes that seemed a bit ooh to start with. And then I've had head teachers just go, "Can you tell me this about faith? I just want to talk to you about this. Or what do you believe about this?" And the conversations that open up, just there are so many of those. And Christians can also be invited into places of leadership and influence where they can help shape the culture of the whole school. And Will's going to just come and briefly tell us about his involvement in Shire Oak Academy nearby here, where one of our ethos teams also works. So let's welcome Will.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you. And it is an amazing work that Phil and the team are doing in Grace Foundation. So, Shire Oak, anybody heard of Shire Oak? Yeah, quite a few people. It's a large secondary school in a place called Warsall Wood, just by Pelsall, Rushall, Brown Hills, that sort of way. Got about 1,400 young people aged 11 to 18. It's got a sixth form, and it's part of the Mercian Trust. And you might know, Kevin Davies is not here today, but one of our elders, Kevin Davies, founded and chairs the Mercian Trust, which has a number of academies as part of it. In 2025, so I'm going back to early last year, Ofsted did an inspection and judged that the quality of education was inadequate, behaviour and attitudes were inadequate, leadership and management were inadequate, personal development required improvement, and sixth form was good. So Ofsted, as a result of that, placed the school in special measures. I don't know whether you know what special measures is, but that's not great. And Ofsted also said something really important. The school is not allowed to recruit early careers teachers, and that meant they got a real lack of confidence that the school could properly train and support them. So if you don't know what special measures is, Ofsted inspects schools and make judgments, and inadequate is the most serious judgment, and special measures is the sort of lowest sort of judgment you can get. So it means that pupils aren't receiving an acceptable standard of education, that those responsible for leading and governing the school haven't shown the capacity to put things right. And it results in more regular monitoring visits until Ofsted is satisfied. And when they're satisfied, they do a full inspection, and then that moves it out to special measures. And actually, the report was quite painful to read because it meant children were missing out too much on school. They weren't coming to school, and those who did come to school weren't going to lessons often. That there was really poor behaviour that disrupted learning and also created problems at lunchtime and break time. There was a weak provision for vulnerable students, and there was inconsistent teaching. So it's worth saying that this school, as Justine said, is in a part of Warsaw that is one of the most deprived. It's got real challenges economically and socially. And we heard on the video how learning in school is disrupted by these sort of things, whether that's not having enough food to eat, so behaviour goes down, or whether it's other challenges at home or in the community. So why did I get involved? Well, Kevin approached me and asked me whether I'd help with the school at this critical moment. There was a recognition that things need to change quickly, and honestly and thoroughly. So the local governing body, which is the normal thing that looks after the school, was stood down. And because I've been involved in turning round education schools for 20 years, and I was moving from an employed to a freelance basis, I had some capacity. So I said, yes, I'd help. Vicky said to me, there are lots of people when offered this challenge would run away, and you just seem to rub your hands and say, yes, I'll help. But I do like helping in this way. And so Kevin asked me to chair something called an interim executive board, which is a temporary but much more focused board that's brought in to make rapid and significant improvement. And I said yes, because really what Phil said earlier, this is part of what God has equipped and sort of over 20 years given me the experience for. And it's about young people, it's about their education, it's about their safety, it's about their future and sense of worth. But it is also about serving as a church, our local community, in practical ways, using whatever influence and power and experience and skills that God's given us. So what's changed? That's the context. So we appointed a new head teacher. Then we recruited a stronger senior leadership team, which has been in place since September. Not very long, really. We also partnered with Grace Foundation through Phil to put the ethos team in place. We put clearer plans, better systems, stronger oversight, sharper accountability. We also put together a community pantry because we recognised that there were lots of needs in the community: food, clothes, school provision. We really focused on a significant amount of work around behaviour and consistency across the school, safeguarding and pastoral care, inclusion, particularly for those vulnerable pupils and those with special education needs. We really looked at the assessment and the curriculum and the teaching, and the IEB, the Interim Executive Board, started to hold leaders properly to account with strong challenge but also strong support. And we've been really encouraged because the school has changed and is continuing to improve. Pupils now experience a calmer, more purposeful and predictable school day. Their teachers are more consistent, and it's an environment where children can learn. In fact, we had a meeting with the Department for Education the week before last, and the beautiful thing that came from that, from everybody involved, was it now feels like a normal school. Now, that might not seem a great achievement for you, but for a school that's been in special measures with so many challenges, what people were saying is it is now unrecognisable from 12 months ago when the Ofsted report put it in special measures. And we had our first monitoring visit by Ofsted in March, and we had our second one just last week, the last but one week of term. What a great time to have a monitoring visit. Now, it's a shame that the monitoring visits don't provide the new grade. You have to have a full inspection for that. But they do provide a interim report on the school. And what inspectors said was leadership and governance has shown a substantial improvement and now is really strong. They've seen improvements in pupil behaviour, increased attendance, lower truancy, inclusion for those with the greatest needs, and the teaching and assessment is really improved and is on the right track. They said safeguarding remains effective. They recognise that pupils are increasingly experiencing a calm and purposeful environment. And they met with and saw the whole of the leadership, and they met leaders who remain honest about the weaknesses of the school, and they know what needs to be done to put it right. And that was really encouraging. So the other thing was, when we had our monitoring visit in March, Ofsted said that leaders and trustees were taking effective action, but the school was still not allowed to appoint early careers teachers. Well, following last week's visit, the letter will now say that the school can appoint early careers teachers. What that means is Ofsted has shown a significant shift in confidence that Shire Oak can properly support and develop teachers. Now, the school isn't there yet. This is a long journey. Loads of schools are facing loads of challenges, so there's still more to do, but it has moved significantly and it continues to move in the right direction. It's got a very, very strong foundations that weren't there before. And I have to say, last August, I went into the school for A-level results day. And one of our interns, Danny, so that's Chima and Esther's daughter, I was proud to be there when she opened her envelope and she got 4 A-star A-levels. Let's give Chima and Esther and Danny a clap, because that is amazing. And I know is it Stephanie that's waiting for her results? She's just done a GCSEs. So we wish you all the best with that. So what can we do as a church? Well, as I said, all schools face challenges with the way the government works, funding, the way that communities and society is changing. So can you pray for the head teacher, for the senior team, for all of the staff, that they have wisdom and resilience and unity and courage, that the classrooms become places of greater learning, that the children who struggle with school and attendance get the help and support they need, whether that's behaviour, anxiety, poverty or family difficulties. Pray for the pupils, especially those who are vulnerable and disadvantaged, and there's lots of them, the ones who have SEND, special education needs, or those who have become disaffected and disillusioned and disconnected with the school. And can you do another thing? Can you speak hopefully about what this church and Grace Foundation is doing for schools like this, and particularly for Shire Oak? It is starting to get its reputation back, but it needs the good news to really seep into the community about the improvements that are made, so that people know that this school is full of young people with lots of potential, and staff who are working incredibly hard to serve them. So this is a long-term work of restoration. It will require good leadership and clear systems and determined staff and accountable governance and the support of the wider community and our church. And as a church, we have an opportunity to stand with schools like Grace Academy Darlaston, where we are today, and like Shire Oak. They're on our doorstep, and we can help create a better future for local children and families. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Will. And when I first went into Shire Oak, and bear in mind I've been in huge amounts of secondary schools, I rung Will on that day and we both said the main thing this school needs is prayer. And our house group and others have been praying for that, and we're really seeing the results. And so thank you, and thank you to Will for all his hard work he's doing there, as well as Kev and other people there. So as we come to, oh, by the way, I've got two stories I can't say on the mic about Ofsted and Shire Oaks. So if when we're having a coffee, if you do want to come and chat to me, I can tell you some good stories there. But as we come to a close, I want to return to where we started with the words of Jesus. The challenge of Matthew 5 isn't just about schools, isn't just about Grace Foundation. It isn't just primarily about church. It's about Christians living faithfully wherever God has placed them. And tomorrow morning, some of us will walk into classrooms. Some won't because their schools are finished. Others will head into offices, hospitals, workshops, factories or shops. Some will spend the day caring for grandchildren, supporting neighbours or serving quietly in their community. Others may be sitting simply beside someone who desperately needs hope. None of these circumstances are accidents. They're all opportunities to be salt and light. Perhaps you've noticed that Jesus never tells salt to become pepper, and he never tells light to become fireworks. Salt simply needs to remain to be salty, and light simply needs to shine. In the same way, God isn't asking Christians to do the same thing, not asking you to be exactly the same as Justine or Will. He isn't calling everyone into schools or everyone into a certain ministry. He's asking each of us to be faithful where he's placed us. And for us at Grace Foundation, that means assemblies, mentoring conversations, lunchtime clubs, helping school leaders, walking with young people through some of the most difficult moments of their lives. For you, it may mean leading your business with integrity, caring compassionately for patients, teaching children, encouraging colleagues, serving customers, being a good neighbour, or simply being the person who brings hope into a difficult place. Jesus finishes the passage with these words: "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Notice the destination. The goal is never that people admire us. It's not that they think Grace Foundation is impressive or J10 is a wonderful church, even though it is. The goal is that through ordinary acts of love, service and faithfulness, people are drawn to glorify our Father in heaven. That's why we go into schools. That's why many of you do what you do tomorrow. And that's why God has put his church through every part of society. He's placed his people wherever they're needed most, so that the light of Christ shines not just on a Sunday, but in every place, every office, every ward, every classroom, every home and every street. So thank you for praying for Grace Foundation. Thank you for praying for Shire Oak, Grace Academy, Darlaston. But don't just pray for us. Pray for one another. Pray for every member of this church who walks into a place this week where they have an opportunity to be salt and light. And as we continue serving schools, may we all, wherever God has placed us, live in such a way that people see our good deeds and ultimately give glory to our Father in heaven. So let's stand. We're going to close with prayer. We're not going to have a closing song because I think the kids will throw me down a well if they don't get to the ice cream van soon. So let's stand and let's pray. Oh, Will's already got his ice cream. So once we're released from here, get your ice creams, then come and get your drinks and have a chat. Okay, there is also prayer ministry here, but I think you've got to get your ice creams before you have prayer ministry. So there we go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you call us to be salt and light. We thank you for organisations like Grace Foundation and so many others that do amazing work. Help us be equipped to do what you want us to do and support how you want us to do that. We pray that you'll encourage us and equip us and give us all we need, as you promise, to do the tasks that you have for us. And we ask that in your name. Amen.